We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is Darius Miller.
This is Drew Hardy.
This is Lance Thomas, Tyree Gavin.
Jason Smith.
Anthony Davis of the New Orleans Pelicans.
You're listening to.
And you are listening to In the Know.
In the Know.
The Bourbon Street Shots.
Bourbon Street Shots podcast.
All Pelicans, all the time.
Welcome to the show. It's been a while since our last podcast, and I'm still very sorry we don't yet have a draft pick yet, but we're hoping we might have a draft pick that will make the draft exciting for all of us. I'm going to still watch the draft because I just love the draft in general. And then the real fun begins. July 1st, we get free agency. And Michael, I think you feel like there's going to be some setup before free agency even happens.
Yeah, I do think something happens Pelicans related on the night of the draft. Okay. It's hard for me to believe. I mean, Dell is an incredibly active guy. And I mean, last year or in February at the trade deadline, I mean, he admitted that he was burning up the phone lines, but you know, nothing came to fruition. Now, if you believe any and all of the, you know, the reports out there about the Pelicans being really active, it's just hard to believe that he's going to try and be this active again and be satisfied with, you know, not having anything come to light on draft night. If you spend time, which you shouldn't, but unfortunately I do, reading Pierre Jackson's Twitter account, it looks like, you know, it looks like some situations are going up over there with him being confused and not thinking he's going to be on the team. So, it's just hard for me to believe that with all the work he puts in, he's not going to get a little something or maybe a big something done on draft night.
All right. So, you know, every year I put up my, well, not every year, but most years I put up my value of a draft pick. And, you know, do you have, first let's get this out of the way. Do you see any real chance that the Pelicans move into the lottery portion of this draft, or should we just basically toss it out the window? You see any way they could do that?
So there are two questions built inside your one question. Do I think they could trade for a pick in the lottery? I do. Do I think that they will take a player from the lottery and put them on their roster? I don't. I do envision a scenario in which Dell could trade into the lottery because, and I think this is what's going on. I think he's having conversations with teams and he has certain guys targeted and teams say, well, look, you know, I want to get younger or I want a young, you know, a young cheap piece back. You don't really have any of that to offer me. at the caliber that I want, you go out and get me a top 10 pick, or go get me a top 7 pick, and I will make that trade with you, but I can't with what you're offering right now. I think there is a possibility that, you know, that has been said to Dell. So he is out there actively searching for a lottery pick or, you know, a high pick for those purposes.
So if you heard a rumor that the, you know, Pelicans were moving into, they keep talking about how the Lakers pick seems to be on the market. They're moving into spot 7 or possibly going to pick that up. You fully expect we're not going to see Noah Vonleh on the team next year.
Noah Vonleh.
I was trying.
No, I understand. No, I mean, people expect nothing less. You've reached expectations early in the podcast. I'm not going to be able to top you. But no, I can't. And it's not because necessarily I don't think it's the right move, but I, you know, the greatest predictor of the future is the past. If somebody could show me some precedent of, you know, of Dell trading a quality young vet to go get a 19-year-old guy, and then when you, on top of that, I mean, we have to be realistic here. We got a couple of years not making the playoffs and being pretty bad, one of the worst records in the NBA over the last 3 years. And, you know, expectations for next year, Dell's contract getting shorter by the day. I just don't see a scenario in which he could take a step back, even if he thinks, well, this might put the Pelicans 2 steps forward 3 years from now. You know, why do I want to go get Noah Vonleh when, you know, maybe he's a stud in 4 years, but I'm not going to be the GM that's benefiting from that.
Well, then let me ask you this follow-up question. Well, to me, this is a 7-man draft. Do you agree with that? That there's like 7 guys who are worth it? Seven guys I feel like are probably going to be pretty good no matter what.
Oh, no matter what? No. No, okay. we would have said that about, I mean, people talk about how bad last year's draft was, but I don't think we would have predicted bustitude for Otto Porter.
No, I would have picked like 3 or 4 guys and said pretty good.
Yeah, but no, so no matter what, no. I mean,
let me do it this way then. I have Wiggins, Parker, Exum, Embiid, Vonleh, and Smart, and Randall. I think all of those guys are going to give you some pretty good production. And after that, I think it's pretty hit or miss.
Isn't that 8?
No.
So you have the big 3. You have
Wiggins, Parker, Exum, Embiid.
Okay, so that's the big 4. You have Smart.
Vonleh, Smart, and Randall.
Oh, you don't have Aaron Gordon. Okay.
I don't have.
Yeah. If you're talking about guys that I know are going to give me production, I would put Aaron Gordon in there. I would take out, you know, I struggle to see how Julius Randle fits in today's NBA. I mean,
really?
15 years ago, I would have no doubt. But, okay, tell me how many guys there are that are undersized power forward scorers that don't have the length or the quickness to defend on the other end. I think we could think of one, but that's the point. There's just one. How many do you have?
Oh,
that are just low post guys.
I don't know. I mean, I think you're selling Randall a little short. I think he's athletic enough that he could carve a niche out in the. I'm not saying he's going to be a star. I just think Julius Randall could be a starting five on a starting player on a lot of different teams.
Well, yeah. So could Marcus Thornton. I mean, I guess.
What? No, I don't even put them in the same sentence.
Marcus Thornton was a starter, you know, at Sacramento. He's a starter on other bad teams. But, okay, I mean, it's not going to really matter. We debate Julius Randle right this whole podcast. You know, Marcus Smart was a guy I liked last year, but it was because I thought, well, the jump shot would improve. Marcus Smart is a guy who, he's not a point guard, and if you're playing him at the 2, you have a shooting guard that can't shoot, and it's not like he has the agility or quickness of a Tyreek. I think he could be a hound on the defensive end, but I could also, like, I could see him shooting 38% his first year. You know, Vonleh, I think, is the ultimate. I think he either turns out to be Derek Favors with a better jump shot or Samaki Walker. I mean, if you're talking about absolutely no doubt in my mind, I think Wiggins definitely is a starter for 12 to 15 years. Same with Parker, and I think Aaron Gordon, at the very least, is a high-energy, defensive-minded guy. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Embiid, the injury thing is the only thing that would stop him, but that's as a legitimate concern as anything else. So, no, I would have my surefire gonna-be good contributors in this league. My list would be 3D.
Okay. Well, that was an interesting discussion, but it went away from my original point here, which is you were talking about how, you know, Dell is really kind of his clock is ticking. There's no real other way to put it. If this team doesn't see the playoffs this year or this coming year, would you be surprised if he didn't have a contract the next year?
I wouldn't say playoffs as much as significant improvement. So, like, I could see a scenario where they win 48 games and they're one of the best teams in the league in the second half of the season. At that point, why would you fire your GM and coach, you know?
Right.
So I don't think it's necessarily playoffs, but
his clock is ticking, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. But let's say you were handed today GM-ship for the next 87 years guaranteed.
Nice.
Okay? So even as a corpse, when you're dead, and you still be running the team. There's no way you're losing this job. And you had the opportunity to move into the top 7 or top 5. Would you be preferring to take something, or are you thinking the same way Del Demps is, where you want to get some veteran players on this team?
I mean, me personally, there's nobody in this draft I love enough. I mean, if Embiid falls to 7, you would see me getting. I would definitely be pondering the question a lot more. I would have to know more from doctors in order to really make an educated choice. But I think the overall question is, take away the prospects, is, you know, how worried would we be if Del Demps is thinking more about covering his butt versus, you know, seeing what's best for the long-term future in this team? If he had a 10-year guaranteed contract, would he make this, you know, would he make the same exact decisions he's going to make this offseason? I mean, I think ideally we would want the answer to be yes, but I don't know, you know, I mean, just as a part of human nature, I mean, Dell would have to be a great human being, a better human being than I am, to care about the long-term health of this franchise over, you know, his job security. I mean, that would just take a great human being to be able to do, you know, to be able to be willing to risk handing off what you built to somebody else when you could, you know, keep your job security and, you know, still be a championship contender if you make the right moves by acting in the, you know, more immediate future.
Okay. So are you going to answer my question?
I'm trying to think, what did it? What
you have the opportunity.
I have the opportunity.
In the top 7 to draft.
I am not trading any of my core for. The only thing I would trade Ryan Anderson for, I would consider Ryan Anderson for Joel Embiid. I would not consider any of my core 4 for anybody else in this draft.
Okay.
How about you? You don't get to get away.
Me? I actually would consider trading the best 3 players, anybody but the best 3 players on this team, which is Holiday, Evans, and Anthony Davis, of course.
Well, yeah, I mean, anybody, yeah, so it's Ryan Anderson.
Yeah,
nobody matters. I mean,
Austin Rivers is very important to me.
so you would consider Ryan Anderson, what guys straight up would you trade Ryan Anderson for in this draft?
Wiggins.
Right.
Parker, Embiid, Smart.
Wow.
I don't know enough about Exum to be able to say any sort of, I don't know enough about him.
Right.
That's pretty much it.
So Smart, you wouldn't care about needs, you would just get a great player and figure.
Yeah, I really like Smart a lot, and having him on the team would free up other opportunities.
There's a guy in this draft I'm shocked that you haven't dug deep into the research, or you're changing on me, that I'm surprised you're not in love with. I'm surprised you don't have a man crush on Yusuf Nurkic.
I love Yusuf Nurkic.
Oh, no.
But see, we're not talking about a guy who you have to be in the top seven to get your hands on.
I mean, probably 10 to 14. And would you trade Ryan Anderson for Yusuf Nurkic?
No, I wouldn't trade Ryan Anderson for Yusuf Nurkic. I've seen enough little bit of video of Yusuf Nurkic that I don't see the athletic ability there to make me think he's going to be an amazing basketball player. I could see him be possibly a better version of Nikola Pekovic.
In time, yeah, I think that's the outcome.
And you know, I would like that on this team. I mean, that's something that's attractive to me. But yeah, I wouldn't trade Ryan Anderson for it. Not on Ryan Anderson's contract.
I mean, what about going the other way? So you're saying there's none of the other guys that you would trade. Here's the other thing that I don't know how I feel about quite yet, or if it happens. Think about maybe Dell is kind of desperate and next year is a huge priority, and maybe he's, you know, if he doesn't get past next year, what does he care about future assets? I'm a little bit worried that he would be willing to trade future first round picks for picks in this year's draft. I mean, again, for those who follow the NFL, this is something the Buffalo Bills did, where their GM is on the hot seat. So they're like, you know, he traded a future first round pick to move up this year, because if it doesn't work out, he don't care. He's not going to have to deal with not having a first round pick when he gets fired. So I'm going to tell you the protection on the pick, and I want you to tell me, let's imagine it's a straight up swap, a future pick for a pick in this round. I'll tell you the protection on the pick, and you tell me the lowest pick that you would want in this draft that you think would be fair. Do you get the question? I know it's a little, it's
right. So you're going to say protected 1 through 5, and I'll say, you have to give me at least 10th or something like that.
Right. So, okay, let's start there. Top 5 protected pick. What is the lowest pick that you would take in exchange for that? So Phoenix comes to you. I think Phoenix is picking 13th, right?
Okay, yeah.
Phoenix comes to you with the 13th pick and says, I will give you this pick if you give me a top 5 protected pick next year. Would you do it?
Yes.
14th pick, Minnesota. So this is what I'm saying. What's the lowest pick you would agree to with that as your protection?
Yes, I would. Here's the thing, though. The only reason why I'm saying yes is because you're approaching the Nurkic line.
Oh, so Nurkic is on.
So if I feel like I could get Nurkic with your pick.
So wherever Nurkic is on the board, even if it's 17, you know, and you just want him, and you call up and they say, well, you got to give us a pick next year, top 5 protective. If Nurkic is on the board, you say yes.
Yeah.
Okay. What about, so now the pick the teams are asking for is lottery protected.
Okay.
What is the lowest you would take? The lowest pick from this year's draft you would take?
Oh, I would. It all depends on who's available, but I'd probably go as low as somewhere in like the lower 20s.
So like
20, 21, 22, yeah, somewhere around there.
Oklahoma City has 21 and 27. So they say, we don't want 2 picks in this draft. You give us lottery protected and we'll give you the 21st. You'd do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And then, okay, I was going to.
And if I have a guy I like, I might even go as low as like 25. I mean, it all depends on, you know. Because what you're saying right there is basically either I've made the playoffs and I'm feeling pretty good about myself anyways, and if I get a pick or not, it's not vital. Or I'm in the lottery and my pick's going to come to me back anyways, and I'm just getting a guy that helps me out this season, if he's one that I like, is a good thing.
Right. And the Nurkic scenario, it would be like, well, yeah, maybe I'll give up the 12th pick next year, but I'm betting on Nurkic being better than whoever's going to be there at 12 next year.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about that because there are several teams. I mean, I really think I just find it hard to believe that with Chicago looking to dump money and get in the Carmelo hunt, that they're going to select two guys at 16 and 19. Now, I think they would be more than willing to give up one or both of those picks for a future pick. You know, if you go to them, the trade that I had that made sense was Mike Dunleavy in 19 for Pierre Jackson and a future lottery protected first. You know.
Yeah, and you'd make Jason very happy with that because he likes Dunleavy.
Right, and you clear about $4.5 million off of Chicago's books. They get, you know, a nice asset in Pierre plus a future pick. So, you know, thinking about trades like that, but, you know, that's one where if Dell is thinking more about next year than long term, I think you could look at future picks being traded, especially the teams that have multiple picks and don't.
But you started this conversation though with that you're worried about that. Explain.
I think it could go either way. I mean, what's the cliche that pressure bursts pipes, but it also could create diamonds or something? There's something.
Never heard of it, but that sounds wonderful.
Well, probably,
I'll use it from now.
You've heard pressure bursts pipes, right?
Yeah.
But isn't it something? See, this is where I'm an idiot. I'm terrible at science. Doesn't pressure do something to coal? And
it does. It makes diamonds. You're right.
So it's like it's an either or where it's not a necessary evil. Yeah, maybe he's under a lot of pressure and he needs to get it all right this summer. But that could also crystallize and, you know, and give him a laser sharp focus and know that there's no room for error. So I don't necessarily think that even if this is true, that it's bad for the team. I think it could go either way. And you know, it would depend on how it works out. But I do think that it limits some of the options. I think if a GM was handed this job today, if Dell was fired and a brand new GM was brought in today, I think he would have a bevy, many more scenarios on the table than Dell has right now. I think he's much more limited in the ways that he could possibly go. You know, I could see some other GM coming in and going, hey, look, 80s prime's not going to be for 4 or 5 years. I'm going to blow it up and, you know, get younger assets that'll coincide with those years. I mean, I could see another GM possibly doing that. I couldn't possibly see Dell doing it, but limited options doesn't mean worse. It just means different.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move to the next idea, which is there is several teams that have expressed interest that they don't want any more guaranteed salary on their cap right now because they're going to be going after big time players in a lot of situations. So let's say you had the opportunity to buy, say, from the Rockets. The Rockets they're sitting at 25, and they think they have a real chance at Carmelo Anthony. So they don't want to pick up an extra, you know, whatever, $1.5 million for the 25th pick and worth of salary. So the Rockets come to you and say, cash on the table. Do you think that's a reasonable scenario? Do you think that teams are still looking to sell their late round picks? Or do you think you have to give up like an asset to be able to grab one of those late round picks?
I think you buy them, but you buy them in a different way. I think you buy them by taking Jared Dudley's salary off their hand I don't know Houston's scenario. I'm sure they have some contract or two that's not ideal. You buy them by taking Udonis Haslam off of Miami's hand. You know, that's how you buy first round picks in this NBA. I'm looking at Houston's salaries. I mean, obviously they'd like to dunk Ashik and Lynn, but you're not going to buy a first round pick for $15 million. But I think that's the way that you could buy a first round pick in that way. I think picks 35 through 45 will be sold for cash here and there. I mean, there's no way Philadelphia is making 5 second-round picks.
Right. So, okay, so, but then let me ask those two questions then. As far as I'm concerned, I'm perfectly fine if somebody's blowing money in the second round to buy, like, just straight up, here's a $500,000 or here's $1 million, give me a pick. But when we're talking, take this guy who's got a $2 million or a $3 million contract, and then I'll give you that pick. Is that something that interests you at all? Or since it's so late in the draft, this is not something you want?
Again, it would depend on the guys that are there. Me as a GM, if KJ McDaniels is there, if Cle'Anthony Early are there, or a guy that I love, and, you know, I'll probably pull a Schwan here, I don't know exactly how to pronounce his name, is Damian Inglis. It might be Inglis, it might be Inglis, I don't know.
Okay.
But if those three are there, again, it would be dependent on how I can make it work within the CBA rules, and I don't want to get too nerdy here, but, like, let's say the Dunleavy contract. The Dunleavy contract is small enough that we could give them the fake contract of Melvin Ely and Luke Babbitt, and they could just release those guys, so there would be no salary cap ramifications. And we could do that after we do, you know, everything with our cap room and or MLE. Like, it wouldn't have to eat up any of our cap room. So, but something like Haslam, that would have to eat up our cap room, and then we would lose the MLE. So, yes, if I could do it in a way in which I could make it a trade that works per CBA rules without giving up cap space or my MLE, then yes, I would be all for that. But if I have to eat up my cap space and then therefore kill you know the ability to use my MLE, then no, there's no way that would be worth it.
Okay. I don't want to lose any cap flexibility at all.
Right.
Coming up on July 1st, not for any pick after, like, yeah, the Nurkic line.
Right. This is where, like, I know NBA fans who are more casual fans or just fans of the game, like, they really get confused by the CBA and all the rules or whatever. But remember, there's this moratorium period where all these things are agreed to, but nothing is officially done. So teams scramble and they do all their deals in this time, but based on how you turn them into the league office allows you to kind of manipulate the rules. Like I said, we could agree, so the Dunleavy deal. Let's say we agree to Dunleavy and 19 for Luke Babbitt, Melvin Ely, Pierre Jackson, and a future pick on the day of the draft. Well, that trade's not going into the league office until after the moratorium's over. So then let's say we agree to re-sign Jason Smith and whoever using bird rights and then use the MLE on Andre Blotch. Well, in that scenario, what we would do is we would turn into the league office the contract on Jason Smith and, let's say, Darius Miller first. Then we would turn into the league office, hey, we used the MLE to sign Blotch. And then we would turn into the league office, you know, here's this trade that's legal per the 150% rule in which we get Dunleavy and the pick. And then that would all be legal. So even though the trade went down on June 26th, we don't turn it into the league office until after we turn in, you know, the agreement with Andre Blotch, which we might have agreed to on July 4th. And that makes it all legal. So I know it's very confusing for most people who just care about the game, and I totally get it. But that is how you could kind of manipulate the system to be able to get a draft pick here and still not eat into your cap room and or MLE.
Yeah. So, all right. So then let me ask this question. So let's go ahead and say we're getting – and, you know, every year people are supposed to be, like, on the bubble of the first round. like, you know, oh, they'll go 26th, and they end up going 45th. It happens every year. So let's say you're just getting a pick that's after 25. Are there guys there that are exciting to you at all? Because every year I do that value of an NBA draft pick, and you're looking between like 25 and the last pick of the draft, you're looking at maybe three rotation players in the NBA. That's it. So are there guys you are excited about? You're like, hey, that guy, he would definitely be able to help us.
So this draft particularly, I know I kind of bashed on the top of the draft earlier in this podcast. I love the depth of this draft. I think there will be more, when we look back, there will be at least three or four undrafted players who will go on to have successful careers.
Wow.
I think it's really that deep. I mean, some of the guys that I see going undrafted, I think the undrafted portion of this draft could be as good as some of the second rounds of others. And yeah, in the second round, I don't know if I love it, but I love our position of need, the small forward position. I think I don't see a stud. I mean, I think Jabari Parker plays more power forward. My comparison has always been Sharif Abdur-Rahim. I guess okay. Wiggins plays small forward, but I don't really see studs at the small forward position, but I see maybe five or six guys that are going to go between, let's say, 16 and 40 that I think are going to be Quincy Pondexter, give or take 10 to 20% either way.
Okay.
So
let's start firing some of them off for our listeners. Small forward, wing positions. Who are you most excited about? Give me your top three. And we'll talk about it because I'm sure they'll mimic some of mine.
Top three fit for us because not for us. I mean, I do like Kyle Anderson and TJ Warren, but not as fits for us because we need a spot up guy. I love KJ McDaniels. Like he's this year's Larry Sanders for me, where I'm just irrational about the guy.
And really?
On this podcast, I am going to try to include him in trades every day for the next 3 years. I mean, it's just going to be that way for me.
Until he leaves his dogs out in the cold.
Yeah. Now I hate Larry Sanders, but but yeah, I mean, he is a guy that if I was doing my own big board, he would crack the top 10. That's how kind of
seriously
how irrational. I mean, I
KJ McDaniel. Wow.
Yeah, I'm over the moon. He's my guy in this draft. So.
So actually, you know, now you say that and I think about it, it makes sense. And here, let me tell you why. You know who KJ McDaniel reminds me of?
Who's that?
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Yeah. I mean, with a much better jump shot, but yeah.
I wouldn't say much. I don't think KJ is that great of a shooter. He's okay. I'm not saying he's bad.
Well, to be much better than
yeah, that's right.
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Damning him with faint praise.
Right, but no, you're right. I mean, he's at the top of this small forward class at finishing in transition, and that's what Michael Kidd-Gilchrist did. And I mean, he blocks shots and plays with energy like a big man. I mean, it's just I love guys like that because I can't see him failing. Like, how does he fail?
So he was on my list of guys that I kind of liked. Because he's got all those athletic markers and he's clearly going to be, he could be a guy who could be like a terror out there for you defensively. And, you know, since our last podcast where you pointed out that I was a moron because I didn't list any defensive players I wanted to go after, I was like, yeah, what am I thinking? So I've been like looking for the athletic markers and guys who play pretty solid. And he's definitely one of the highest potential defensive disruptors on the wing that you could get out of this draft, I feel.
Right, and I mean, he's 1.49 points per possession on the fast break and 1.36 around the rim in the half court. I mean, I do see a lot of the Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, but with a slightly better jump shot. So he's the guy I'm in love with. I don't think that Dell and Monty would necessarily agree. I think the guy that has the home run potential is Damian Inglis. I mean, this is a guy who just turned 19 years old about a month ago, and he already weighs more than Anthony Davis at 6'8", already built like an NBA player. He's played point forward. I mean, I can't imagine that if Dell has put on any tape of this guy, he doesn't see Nick Batum when he started working with him. I mean, it's just so similar in who these guys were coming out from, you know, their height, wingspan. I mean, Inglis is a little better built, but played some point forward, could stroke the three. French. I don't know how, if Dell is, or if Monty has seen any tape of him, how he doesn't just see Nick Batum reincarnated. And then the third would be kind of a toss-up for me between the really safe pick, the guy who I think will definitely be a Quincy Pondexter, maybe a little better in Cle'Anthony Early, and then the kind of risky pick in DeAndre Daniels, who, I mean, mm-hmm. if people just watch the NCAA tournament, specifically the Final Four game against Florida, especially after watching Jabari Parker fall on his face, they would say, why aren't we talking about DeAndre Daniels as one of the top five players in this draft? But he's underweight and really inconsistent, but same exact wingspan, standing reach, and vert as Kawhi Leonard. And if you could get him to play the way he played in the NCAA tournament when he finally turned the light on, because he was a top recruit, then, you know, you've hit a triple. So those would be my four that I would be fine with. All kind of give you different things. But, you know, those would be my small forwards. I think Rodney Hood would be a great shooter. I think Jeremy Grant could get to the line, but Rodney Hood plays no defense at all. He's almost as lazy as I said Anthony Bennett was last year. James Young is too young, ironically, and Grant isn't a spot-up shooter. So I think those are guys who can make it in the league too, just not fits for us.
What about Thanasis Antetokounmpo?
I think if he had any other last name, he would go undrafted. I do. I really do. I think his brother, really got... I think it's as simple as I could put it. I really think he would go undrafted if he was not related.
Yeah, well, I actually had the same top three you had, but I didn't. I had Cle'Anthony like fourth on my list. Cle'Anthony just strikes me. He's kind of a black hole if you look at what he's done. He's going to try to finish. He's not going to try to pass. And honestly, I'm a little tired of that kind of basketball. I want my team to have players who move the ball, which is why I slotted Anderson in his spot. Kyle Anderson was my third. And it's just because, like, I've had this conversation with you before, like when we signed Eric Gordon, which was, I want guys that can do multiple things, guys who, you know, they're not just going to give you one category or two tight, like closely related categories, like free throws attempted and points per game. I want a guy who can give you multiple things. And while I don't think Kyle Anderson's passing numbers are going to, you know, stay even in the neighborhood of where they are, because he was basically playing point guard for his team, I do think that he will give you enough rounded numbers, and he's an okay enough shooter that he could be okay for the team.
Yeah, I'm really curious. I think he's one of those guys that it's really going to be dependent on where he goes. I know for a fact I was told that Detroit absolutely loves him. They don't have a pick. And that's one of those situations I'm talking about where, you know, the Pistons are saying, no, we don't want to do Gordon for Monroe, but if you could go get us Kyle Anderson and maybe give us a future pick, we might be willing to do that. That, mm-hmm. Maybe you go up and you try to find one. But I think Dell does something, but I think there's a much better chance that he is basically playing middleman and going and getting a player for somebody else because he knows that a trade, you know, would happen that he likes if he could get that person for said third party.
All right, so we talked small forward, which I know that's where you want to upgrade more than any other spot on this team. So let's, though, shift to the second hole people identify, the place that seems like everybody who's voting in the MLE tournament most of the time seem to go big.
Somebody's going to make a cut of that, and it's just going to be you on a loop saying, let's now shift to the second hole.
That'd be kind of disturbing, actually. So let's go. Are there big men? And I'm not saying they have to be centers. Just are there big men in this draft that go somewhere, you know, after 20 that you think? So of course that makes them pass the Nurkic line. So we're not going to talk about Nurkic. That would you be like, oh, that's a good addition to this team.
There's two, but I think one has no chance of being drafted by this team. I think if you want to find a guy in this draft who has the best chance of being the next Boris Diaw, Mitch McGarry's that guy.
You think he's the next Boris Diaw?
No, I didn't say I think he is. I think I'm saying if teams, and this will get me on a whole new rant, if teams want to build the next San Antonio, which I think is impossible, I just want to say that right now. I'm so sick of people going, oh, let's just build it like San Antonio when, yeah, okay, let's just inject 15 years of chemistry magically.
Right.
So, but if people are saying, well, is there a big man out there who could pass, who could, you know, who could play smart, who could, you know, step out as far to the three-point line occasionally, you know, and do that as well as hitting the offensive glass and putting the ball on the ground. If they're, you know, if teams are trying to follow that model and look at this draft and say, who's the person most like that? I think it would be Mitch McGarry.
Okay. Let me tell you this. Mitch McGarry, I love Mitch McGarry. I honestly thought that, like, I'd seen a few games of his and I just thought I was being a moron. But if you go and actually look at, like, the numbers and the time he spends on the court, and then you just watch it for a little bit, this is, like, if the Pelicans let Jason Smith walk and I knew Mitch McGarry was on the roster, I would not feel one bit like they were going to miss anything.
Yeah, I think Boris Diaw, I think you could also say poor man's Kevin Love.
Yeah.
Like, but I mean, if you look at some of the categories that are indicators, first of all, steals per 40 minutes pace adjusted, like he crushes everybody. Mm-hmm. He
crushes small forwards.
I mean, yeah, he's double of what Joel Embiid is. Again, Nurkic, a lot of his stats are, I mean, we don't know the competition, and also he really didn't play many minutes, so they're, you know, they're inflated. But I mean, if you look at the next line, I mean, he's more than double Embiid and then more than triple somebody like Patrick Young. You look at offensive and defensive rebounds per 40 minutes pace adjusted. Again, he's right there with Embiid and right there with Nurkic at the top. And then you look at, I mean, the assists is, you know, what I was talking about, you know, top of the class there. So it's just, it's something to where if we were just talking about the player, you know, to me, it would be McGarry, but you're looking.
You think the cloud of smoke around him is going to keep him from being drafted?
Yeah, it'll keep. And this is the ironic part. It'll keep him from going high. See what I did there?
That's so bad.
I mean, that there were also some other immaturity issues, and there's a back problem. So, I mean, but yeah, if you're just talking about if I could play NBA 2K and turn off the chemistry and off-court problems part and turn off the injury parts, McGarry would be that guy that I would target for sure, but I can't see this regime. I think one day they might take a chance on, you know, a character guy if he's a good enough player and if the locker room is set. You know, I don't think they will take that chance for a 22-year-old unknown without a locker room culture set yet. So,
yeah. Yeah, I was, when I was looking at the big guys, I kind of wanted to like Adrian Payne, but he just doesn't do – he's a scorer. And I don't as far as I'm concerned, that's he's like – it's going to be like having Carl Landry. He's not going to get you many rebounds. He's not going to do much passing. He'll probably give you some efficient scoring, but that's pretty much it. And is there anything on this team that it needs less than scoring? So yeah. I can't jump on him very much. Jarnell Stokes intrigues me a little bit. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I mean, I knew he would be a guy that would get your attention. I just, to me, measuring 6'8.5",
yeah,
and you know, with shoe, without shoes, he's 6'7". So I mean, yeah, that worried me a little bit. He has the bulk, but I mean, that was the thing. But a good free throw shooter, which I always look at for big men, great on both boards.
He's a good rebounder, yeah,
especially on the offensive goal.
And he's a decent passer. Yeah. So that was kind of like where I was settling. It was like his scoring numbers are pretty solid, but like his other complementary stats are not bad. And honestly, like the thing that sealed it kind of for me too is you know, Kyle Anderson, he's a sophomore, but he's almost 21. Jarnell Stokes is younger than him by about 4 months, and he's a junior. So he is not old for a junior. He's pretty young for a junior as far as draft prospects go.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my thing is that, I mean, by far as how he scored this year, most of his possessions came on post-ups.
Right at the rim.
Yeah, but I mean, specifically post-ups, and he wasn't that good at the college. I mean, he shot 42.3% on post-up possessions in college.
Right.
I just don't know.
But if you're just getting him to grab rebounds and bang a little bit down there, does it matter that much? Or do you think it does?
No, I mean, that's fine. But, I guess if that's the role that I'm getting – I could probably pick up, you know, an NBA role player who has some, you know, who has some experience cheap for that.
You're not going out of your way for that guy.
No, I mean, and that's why I prefer the small forward pick over the center, because I don't see a center in that range who I say, oh, he's definitely going to be better than Withy and Ajinka. So then what am I doing? I'm just putting together a bunch of C pluses and maybe they battle in practice and one breaks through, but most likely that I just have a bevy of backups taking roster spots, where at small forward I could see, you know, I could see a couple of guys being role players this year and or starters in the future at that position. But I mean, the other guy who, you know, I would have to consider, and it would just be more based on intangibles, giving me something I know I don't have in my locker room, and then, you know, he can do some things on the court, is Patrick Young. I think watching the tape of this, I think he is the best pick and roll defender of all the big men. Really, really quick on his feet and has the long arms. And I think he could, you know, he could keep guys, unlike Withy and Ajinka, I think he could keep guys from establishing low post position. I just think, you know, he could do that. I hate his rebounding numbers on the defensive end. Like,
it's shocking how bad he is rebounding.
Yeah, and I would have to. I did watch Florida a lot, and he did come out, you know, quite a bit on defense, and I would have to know more of why it is, because it wasn't so much that way early in his career. But I mean, the offensive rebounding numbers are solid, but yeah, the defensive rebounding numbers scare me, but it would be more on, I mean, my comparison for him, if he makes it, is Antonio Davis. It just, you know, a guy who people thought was undersized, slipped to the second round, but was just mean, tough, you know, he's on the dark alley team. He's the guy, you know, I mean, who's our, I mean, honestly, the enforcer on our team right now is Austin Rivers. he's the enforcer.
No, I think it's Jason Smith.
So, I mean, you know, Patrick Young was the one guy I thought who gave Anthony Davis, you know, problems in college. I know he had a bad game in the championship game, but I really thought, you know, Patrick Young pushed him around. And
yeah, Withy gave him trouble too.
Well, Withy gave him problems on one end. I mean,
okay.
And Anthony Davis, I mean, he was off that night. He could have made a lot of those shots, but I'm talking about on the other end. I mean, Patrick Young would just push him under the basket and then score right over him. But to me, it would be second round pick, either in a trade for Pierre or you buy the pick and you go out and get that guy, and he immediately becomes your enforcer, brings a whole new energy to the team, because you know when the Pelicans get good, the teams are going to start knocking Anthony Davis down the way that they do to Blake. Mm-hmm. And who's going to run over there now? Austin Rivers? I mean, seriously, like, it's nice to have one of those guys on your team.
Yeah.
And that's an intangible that'll never show up in the stats. So just, you know, for something, for that reason, but I'm really not in love with the center prospects. I would be in love with Mitch McGarry if he had Patrick Young's health and intangibles.
No interest in Ken Birch? You don't want like another 210-pound big man?
I put him on my list of undrafted guys that we should go after if they go undrafted. I really could.
He's a surprisingly productive dude for a guy who weighs 209 pounds and is 6'10".
Yeah, I would see him as a developmental guy that, you know, put him in the D League this year, give him, you know, another year, and could just be a high energy guy that flies around, blocks shots, rebounds. But no, I mean, the bigs don't really excite me here. And then when you add on top of that, that bigs take the longest to, you know, to usually meet their potential and start to produce, you know, you're probably looking at a guy who, after 3 years, you're sitting there and you have to re-sign him if he's on a second-year deal, and you don't know if you should, and that's just an awkward position to be in. So, you know, I'm just not in love with any of the bigs.
I only got one other guy that I picked out of, like, the pile, but he's actually expected to go somewhere in the late teens, like around 20 or 19. So I don't know if it actually is going to matter. Clint Capella, international player, he looks like he could be pretty interesting because he's got some nice rebounding numbers for the amount of minutes he has. He's a pretty efficient scorer, and he's not bad shooter from free throw range. So he popped out a little bit for me, but he's the only one we haven't mentioned who I like thought about at all. And I'll be honest, like, I want to go and talk about these guys, but are there any shooting guards or point guards? And I know our team is stacked with them, so I couldn't get excited about anybody. I wanted to go in here and say, oh, PJ Hairston, he's awesome, but no, he's not. Shabazz Napier, oh, he's a champion. We should be after him. And
yeah, I mean,
that was like my response to everything was, eh.
Right, like I find myself more with those guys saying who won't fail. Like I would be surprised if Gary Harris failed. Like, just utterly bombed.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Stauskas did. I wouldn't be surprised if,
right,
you know.
And I love that he's going, well, like, 10th or 11th on a lot of these drafts. How?
He might go as high as 9 if, you know, with Charlotte needing shooters. But I find myself more going the other way. I can't see one of these guys ever making an All-Star. I would be absolutely shocked. The only one, if everything goes right for him, who maybe could make an All-Star game just because of his crazy athleticism is Zach LaVine, but I would put that at a 2% chance. But if everything goes right for him and he gets with the right team, whatever.
Yeah, and even he's a lottery pick.
Yeah, maybe one
for a lot of
maybe
these.
1 in 50 chance he makes an All-Star game, but no, I find myself going the other way, like, I look at guys like Tyler Ennis. I would bet more on bust than becomes an NBA player, or, you know, guys, PJ Hairston, same way. I think the two guys who I would say there's no way they're out of the league in 5-6 years would be Gary Harris and then a local boy that people love, Elfrid Payton. I think his defense will keep him in the league for years to come, and if the offense ever comes around, he's an above-average starter in the
No love for Russ Smith?
I had him on the undrafted list of guys we could target. And the reason I did it was because, and I said in the first line that Schwann's third biggest priority is a backup defensive-minded point guard who's not terrible on offense. So I put him on there just for you. Start him off as a third-string point guard and see how he develops, and maybe he could be your, Tyronn Lue.
Yeah, that'd be nice. You could chase around Allen Iverson for us.
Yeah. get stepped over.
Okay, so anybody else you want to mention in this draft at all?
No, I mean, I guess my question for you is just what your gut feeling is. The next time we do this podcast, will we be talking about a draft pick that we took and are planning on keeping?
No. Honestly, I don't even think we're going to be in this draft. I think we're going to probably have... I wouldn't be surprised at all if I found out that Dell Demps had 9 different deals on the table, but the particular moving parts of every single one of them didn't work out and nothing happened.
Well, you're just setting people up for a fun Thursday night.
It's going to be exciting, though, people. Watch every minute of I don't see the parts on our team that have value that you'd be willing to part with for, I mean, people are still madly overvaluing picks here. Like, seriously, how does somebody think that the 7th pick in the draft plus some garbage is going to get you Kevin Love?
I don't.
I mean, there's no way in hell you could tell me that Julius Randle or Noah or Marcus Smart is going to be anywhere in the neighborhood of Love as a player.
But, I mean, this is the time. I mean, this is where people get all excited about possibility. Like, people don't want to admit it, but people were excited about Sergei Karasev this time last year. Oh,
right,
Karasev could be this. He could be that. No, they all just become players.
And Yusuf Nurkic is going to be awesome.
Yeah, they all just become just another guy. A couple of them stand out. But as excited as you are, and, oh, if Glenn Robinson does this and this and this, he could be good. No, he's just going to be another guy. There's all these guys are just going to be another replaceable guy that you're not excited about even a year from now, and you're going to be all excited about the next guy in the 2015 draft. There's so few people that actually make an impact. Everybody else is just a replaceable part, and it's not going to be any different in this draft. There'll be a couple. And, there'll be a couple later on who find the right situation that wind up being better than they, would have been elsewhere. But it's just another draft. It's just going to be the same as the ones before it. It's not, the 40 guys that you're excited about, I guarantee all 40 of them don't make an impact. So, yeah.
See, and you're just saying that I'm the one dragging people down.
I know. I just really Eeyore'd that segment, didn't I?
All right, so then, and I just kind of mentioned it, like, let's just talk our team. Like, the guys that are on the team right now, these guys who we've watched for a year or two, because that's pretty much as long as they've all stayed on the team. Do you feel like this team there are players on this team that have value that make it worth trading them? Do you feel like anybody's overvalued or even evenly valued, other than Anthony Davis, who, of course, everybody in their right mind would trade for instantaneously? Are there players on this team that you think I could get even value back if I traded them?
So here's the thing. Do I think Drew Holiday is worth the 3rd pick in the draft? Yes. But would Drew Holiday ever get you the 3rd pick in the draft? The answer is no, because those teams are on a different timeline. And I think this is where people get confused of, you know, does the third pick have more value than Drew Holiday? To teams that are on one timeline, it does. To teams that are on the other, it definitely doesn't. So when we talk about, well, can we trade Ryan Anderson for the fourth pick? No, because the Orlando Magic are on a timeline in which they don't want to start winning next year. They want the young guy in the rookie year and build slow. They want another high pick next year. So, I mean, it's a really tough question to answer, because I think I could say that, like, Austin Rivers, if Austin Rivers was in this draft, knowing what we know about him now, where would he go? Therefore, what is his value? I think he would go late lottery, mid-teens, because he's still younger than a lot of the guys in the draft, and he has shown that he could play in the NBA. But does that mean that a team would give up 15 for him? Probably not, because they're on a different schedule or have a different need. So, I mean, that's the thing, is that you could say that players are worth picks, but they not only have to be worth the pick, the team has to be on the schedule that, you know, they would give up that pick. And I don't see many that are there. So it's a hard question to answer for that reason.
Right. So if I just had to tell you, hands down,
I think Sacramento, if given the chance, should do Jason Thompson and the eighth pick for Ryan Anderson. I think there's no doubt in my mind that they would get more value in return than they would be giving up. But
you're not sold on Doug McDermott?
No, but I do not think they would do that. But gosh, if you put together a team with the front line of Rudy Gay, Ryan Anderson, and DeMarcus Cousins, I don't know if they would defend anybody, but they might score 115 points a game next year. But they wouldn't do it. So is he worth the eighth pick? Yes. Would a team give up the eighth pick? No, because they're on a different timeline.
Okay. All right. So, but then that like leads me to the question, like, if we want to get into the middle of the lottery, do you see any way that the players on this team we could trade that makes sense to do that? I don't. That's like my whole thing is like, you get these rumors that they're trying to trade into the middle of the first round or at the end of the first round, and I'm like, well, the only way we're making those kinds of trades is buying or trading Pierre Jackson. I mean, I just don't see any way you're going to be moving Austin Rivers for something.
I could see one. I could see if the Celtics are told they're not getting Love or he gets traded somewhere else, I think they immediately call up Sacramento and flip Rondo for the eighth pick and something else. Then after doing that, now they have picks 6, 8, and 17. They're not going to want to bring in that many rookies. They've just lost their point guard. I still think Ainge loves Austin Rivers. I could see them flipping 17 for Rivers.
Okay.
I don't know if we would do
it. Would you do 17 for Rivers?
Would I? I mean, you know who I'm.
Yeah, would you
who
do
who I'm
that?
In love with. Yeah, because, I mean, again, if Rivers.
Because then you take KJ McDaniels,
take
you'd be excited.
Daniels, I'd be fine with a couple. I mean, there is a chance that if teams are worried about him coming over and playing or buyout or whatever, that Nurkic could be there, whatever. But I try not to get attached to people. I try to think of the question as, if Austin Rivers was in this draft and I was picking at 17, would I pick him or KJ McDaniels and decide that way, as opposed to thinking of giving up Austin Rivers for 17? And yeah, with the team that I have right now is currently built, if those two players were on the board at 17, I would take McDaniels. So yes, I would trade Austin Rivers for McDaniels.
Okay. By the way, everybody, Nurkic played exactly 16.6 minutes per game last season, but scored 11.7 points.
I mean, one of the greatest, like, per 40s ever for a big, but,
that means that he's destined to score, you know, 25 points a game in the NBA.
Yeah. But,
although I gotta say, I love the idea of Nurkic, but there is some serious Aaron Gray potential there as well. So.
Oh, yeah, there could be. yeah, I mean, I think to answer your question, and it's not only our players, like very rarely when you see, if you were to go back and look at the transaction history of first round picks being traded, very rarely do you see them traded for a player. They're usually traded to dump a salary or for a future pick. So it doesn't have as much to do with our players and their value or lack thereof. It's how first round trades are usually made. And usually those are the team's two objectives there. It's either to turn an asset now into a future asset because they don't have, you know, room to use it now. And they just want to push it down the line, or they want to get some salary off their books to pursue something in free agency. So, I mean, that's just normally how it's done.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to put you on the spot. You are Dell Demps. You are looking at this upcoming July 1st trade or opening of free agency. You know you could have some options in the draft, or maybe you could pick up some salary, or but you can't really lose any salary. So at this point, you have to make the decision primarily, let's say there's nothing really out there that move any of your core five guys. It doesn't move the needle at all. So you have to make the decision of taking what cap space you have and trading to try to get young players and draft picks from this draft, or just sitting on that money and spending it on whatever veterans are available. Which of those two things would you be more interested in doing?
I would say the veteran route. I mean, if it's the right veterans, of course. I mean, if it's Marvin Williams, I'll slice my toe off. But, of those.
Good God, I can't wait till it happens.
Of those two, I mean, it's exciting to get about the guys in the draft, and we all, you know, you want to project the best future possible, but, I'm not going to get caught up in the moment. I would definitely go the more veteran route of those two scenarios, but I try to have my cake and eat it too. Like I said, there are ways to manipulate the system where you could, you know, you would be able to go around the rules and be able to get both. So that would be my primary objective. Like I said, the Bulls scenario just is the one that I keep, you know, focusing in on as the team that I would definitely target, trying to get rid of cheap assets, picks, whatever, in order to open up that space. I think you try to take advantage of that whenever it's available. So
if the Pelicans don't move one of their big five this draft/offseason, are you disappointed?
No, because I actually expect it. I actually expect it because, I just find it hard to believe that people are going to be sold on Gordon. Like, you know, and after you wrote that article on Ryan Anderson and how, you know, he might hurt the team as much on defense as much as he does on offense, I went back and looked up some lineups. You know, that finishing five that we talk about, it's at about a 123 offensive rating and like something crazy, like a 119 defensive rating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you pull Eric Gordon out of there and you leave the other four with anybody else, the offensive rating stays at about 123. What do you think the defensive rating is?
Well, because I know Eric Gordon somehow managed to have the worst defensive rating of everybody on this team. I don't know. Probably increases to like 112?
104.
That's actually even a decent number.
It's a little less. It's like 103.7, and I forget right now. But those four guys without Eric Gordon have a net rating of about +20. So, like, you know.
God, friggin', how did Eric Gordon get back in this podcast?
And I mean, like, and some of those minutes are with Brian Roberts, some of them. I mean, it's not good players in that fifth spot. But you take those core four. So, like, I'm telling you, the team, we talk about all these fringe prospects and all these, you know, mid-level free agent guys. If you could get those core four together healthy, get Eric Gordon out of the way, I don't care who you put in that fifth spot, it's going to be a monster team. So, you know, we will spend hours on these podcasts talking about these fringe guys, but I'm telling you, those four together, if you could get Eric Gordon gone anyway, anyhow, or he comes back next year healthy and is better, you know, yeah, let's cross our fingers for that. But I mean, that's insane. I think the offensive rating was 123.6 and the defensive rating was like 103 point something for a plus 20 net rating. It's just, it's absolutely insane. So, yeah. So, I mean, I don't expect Gordon to go, but no matter where he goes, it's going to be a addition by subtraction. And then, you know, just filling little pieces around that. And I think it'll start Thursday night. Unlike you, I think Dell does something, but I think he does something. I think he does something for another team. I think he has a deal in his back pocket where a team has said, you get me this player or a pick in this range, and yes, I will make that deal that you want. And he is actively going around the league trying to do that for, you know, the other team. And if he can, he will make that deal after July 1st.
Okay. So we're not going to talk too much about free agency and who we want to see grab because, A, it's going to be good to see what happens in the draft, and, B, that'll be a podcast for next weekend, which will be right on the eve of free agency. Oh. So we'll be able to make all kinds of predictions and have them all be dead wrong.
We should stay up till 12 o'clock and get some popcorn and just wait it out. Just sit there and read all the sources.
We can wear our pajamas.
Yeah, read all the sources, say tweets to each other.
Absolutely. We'll be all over that. Actually, yeah, it's not a bad idea.
I'm not staying up. No, see, for me, I'm lucky.
You're in Utah. It's like staying up to 10 for you.
Yeah.
Keep crying about.
All right, I got a couple of quick tweets. I'll fire them out there. See if you want to if you could answer real quick. Brian Roberts and Darius Miller. This comes from M. Will they be retained?
No.
Quick clarify for people, they might not know this. How much money can the team legally pay for a draft pick?
You could pay up to $3 million in any sort of deal you make. However, you then can't spend that money on anything else for the rest of a full calendar year.
Right, yeah. You basically have a $3 million cap.
Right, because it used to be like the rich teams could, every trade they made, they could give someone $3 million. I believe there was one time where Portland actually traded with one team three distinct separate trades, even though it was supposed to be like one bundle trade, so they could give $9 million to the team.
Nick Hill asks, we didn't mention this, but there has been progress. Any update on the Morrow situation? Has he opted out? How's that going?
Yeah, so as far as I understand, Morrow has opted out, and that he is definitely going to be a free agent.
Yeah, and there's some ways to get creative with re-signing him, but to me, I go through all the permutations, and it just seems as simple as the only two ways we keep him is if, one, Eric Gordon is traded, or two, he agrees to take the biannual, which would be probably under what he could get somewhere else. But I just can't see the team using either cap room or the mid-level on another guard.
Right.
I can't see another scenario. And I could see him taking the biannual for 1 year in a wink-wink deal, because if he does that, then we could sign him the following year using early bird rights and basically just telling him, hey, we'll get you on the back end.
Yeah. I, I, I don't know. The more I think about it, the less likely I think Mara will be back, which will make me sad. I'll make a sad face when I find out if that's true or not.
Yeah, it'll be reason number 84 to hate Gordon, because I firmly believe if he's gone, they definitely bring him back.
it's just
logistics. You can't keep spending money on guards if you...
This is supposed to be the draft podcast, and we're still talking about Eric
How
Gordon.
Can you not? He is the black... Well, okay, yeah, so that's about it. Yeah, that's all our questions. A lot of them we've already covered. So yeah, thanks everybody for sending those in. Keep reading and voting on the MLE tournament. We're down to the final four. I think you and I go head to head this week.
Right? Yeah.
PJ.
Yeah. If you pull out that movie of PJ Tucker punching Blake Griffin, you know I'm dead. Like, is there anything more exciting than seeing Blake Griffin get punched in the face? And I don't care if it's PJ. Just, I need to find a picture of Blake Griffin being punched in the face and put it on my post, just so people at least counter that piece of it.
Yeah, I don't think that's fair. I'm not going to use that again. So
it was pretty dirty.
So we'll have that matchup MLE tournament. The Glory Days series is also coming to the end. I'd suggest people to read that. It's really been a fun series to do, to remember what this team was like when it was healthy, and then, you know, going straight into draft coverage and then obviously free agency coverage, and then summer leagues like 2.5 weeks from now. Like, it's all coming up. So a lot of stuff on the site. Hopefully people check it out and give us some feedback.
Yep. So thanks everybody for listening to In the Know, and we'll be back in a week.